So, hello and welcome everybody to our second episode of German Explained. Hi, Noah.
Hi, Ahmad.
So, Noah, I'm really excited about today's episode. It's going to be about one of the most important topics for German learners, and that's the past tense. To be more specific, it's going to be about the perfect tense and the preteritum tense.
Exactly.
So, I would like to start by asking you, Noah, to explain more what the difference is between the perfect and the preteritum tense, and why and when actually do we use each one of those?
Okay, so let's kick off with the perfect. Mm-hmm. As you said, we have two past tenses in German, the perfect and the preteritum. And mm-hmm. we use the perfect in order to describe past events in everyday's language. But not only mm-hmm. in everyday's language, but also in the written language. Now, mm-hmm. the main difference is that the preteritum is mostly used in literature, which means that uh-huh. if you're reading a story, if you're reading a book, you're gonna stumble over a lot of verbs that are written in a form that you're not familiar with if you're a beginner or if you're advanced even in the German mm-hmm. language, but you haven't read a lot of literature. You will see a lot of forms that might appear unfamiliar. And this mm-hmm. form is called preteritum.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the preteritum is going to be used mostly in the written language and not in the spoken language?
Mostly. As you said, mm-hmm. In the spoken language, in everyday's language, we tend to use, for example, the modal verbs in preteritum. It's because it's okay. easier. And there are other verbs, like, for example, wissen, to know. Mm-hmm. You can say ich habe gewusst, but it mm-hmm. sounds much more German to say ich wusste.
Natural, yeah.
Natural.
Ich wusste, right. That's interesting, actually, that some of the verbs, even in the spoken language, will be used in the preteritum form. Like, as you say, wissen, ich wusste, gehen, ich ging. Great. So now let's speak more about the perfect form, Noah. How can we build it, actually? How do we build a sentence in the perfect form?
You need the auxiliary verb, haben or sein, and then you need mm-hmm. the Partizip 2 of the verb.
Mm-hmm. And that's going to be at the end of the sentence, I think.
Yes, the mm-hmm. main verb is going to be at the end of the sentence, and the auxiliary verb is, as we know, always at the second position of the sentence. So if you're, for instance, you mm-hmm. say, ich habe gegessen. Oder ich habe mm-hmm. Spaghetti gegessen. So the second part of the okay. verb always goes to the end of the sentence.
And that leads us actually to a very important question, which is how do we choose haben or sein? How can we know which one is used with which verb, Noah?
So as a rule of thumb, we say that the verbs that express motion mm-hmm. need the auxiliary verb sein. And the verbs mm-hmm. that do not express motion need the auxiliary verb haben. I don't know if you have better tips on that front.
Yes, I would actually like to add something in that point. For our listeners, that's going to be a very useful trick that you can use when it comes to choosing between haben and sein. We start by checking whether the verb has an accusative object or can have an accusative object. When you say ich kaufe, it means you have to say what are you buying? Or when you eat something, you say what are you eating? So this is the accusative object. And once you know that the verb has an accusative object, you can immediately go to haben. Don't check whether the verb is motion or not. Just go ahead and use haben.
That's competitive with my method.
But
you gave you gave examples on haben, on sentences with haben. Can you give us some examples with sein?
When it goes to sein, Noah, we have not one case, which is, as you said, change of location. And I would not say motion because dancing is also motion. And I don't use dancing to go to the supermarket, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't go dancing to the
supermarket. When I say motion, I mostly mean changing of location. Yeah, but also changing, like going from A to B.
Exactly, that's it. So this is the first case, change of location from A to B, as you just said. And as an example, we can say, ich fahre nach Hannover, oder ich bin nach Hannover gefahren. So this is the first case. The other case, the second case, is change of state. This is also important because when you get up from sleeping, you say, ich bin aufgestanden. And this is the reason, actually, for the confusing happening between the verbs schlafen and einschlafen. Einschlafen is describing the moment where you fall asleep. And this is describing, in another way, a change of state. And here we say, ich bin um 11 Uhr eingeschlafen, sagen wir. But when you want to express how long you slept, you say, ich habe 3 Stunden geschlafen. Here we use the verb haben. And the third case is a special case because it's only one verb, specific verb, and it's bleiben. So, ich bin geblieben. And you can understand it as if it's change of location, but with a value 0. So, maybe just to make it easier to learn, it's not like that, but maybe it could make it easier to learn.
Fair enough. I would have said to my students, it's an exception. There are exceptions, like the exception.
It is an exception. It is an exception. You're right. So, just summarizing, first of all, you check. The verb has an accusative object, directly choose haben. It doesn't have an accusative object, then sein, you check the 3 cases. If it doesn't belong to one of those, then it goes to haben. And as an example, regnen. It doesn't have an accusative object. You say, es hat geregnet, because it doesn't belong to any of those 3 cases.
Okay, so we have dealt with the problem of the auxiliary verb. Let's move on to the Partizip 2. When we say Partizip 2, it's a form of a certain verb mm-hmm. that we need to know. So, do we need to learn the Partizip 2 by heart? Ahmad, what do you think?
Yes, unfortunately. We are learning a new language here, and not any language, it's the German language. So, learning by heart is a must, but we still have some ways to make it easier, maybe. So, as an example, all verbs that end with I-E-R-E-N, like kopieren, studieren, those are mostly international verbs, no? Mm. Those verbs will end with a T in the Partizip 2 and without G-E at the beginning. For example, ich kopiere, ich habe kopiert. Ich studiere, ich habe studiert.
Ich präsentiere, ich habe präsentiert.
Genau, exactly. This is one of the rules that really helps because it always can be applied.
We started with this rule, but I think it's important to say or to highlight that most of the German verbs or the German Partizipien begin with a G. So gesprochen, gegessen, gesagt, geredet, and so on and so forth. But there are, of course, there are exceptions and there are rules that you can follow that you're just saying. So go on, sorry, I interrupted you.
No problem. That's also very important to know. Most of the verbs start with GE, that's right. And the other rule that we could make use of is that verbs that starts with the prefix VER or BE or ENT are most likely going to be formed without GE at the beginning. So like vertun, it's going to be vertan. So as you see, there's no GE.
Oh man, that's good.
Yeah, that can be helpful sometimes.
Yeah, so actually, because I've been learning French for a couple of years now, and conjugating French verbs isn't easy because you have a lot of exceptions, and you have 3 groups. You have verbs of the first group, verbs of the second group, and verbs of the third group. What I want to say is, in German, it's actually very simple to conjugate. Once you know the pattern, the endings, you can conjugate whatever verb you come upon. And however, irregular verbs means also that there will be a change in the pattern of the conjugation when it comes to the present tense, but also to the when it comes to the other tenses as well. But I think the most important that we need to focus on now is that, for example, if we say sprechen, so when you go and conjugate it with the third person singular, you say er spricht.
That's right.
So the E turns into an I.
Yes.
This also means that the verb is irregular, right?
That's right. That's right. And the only problem here is, Noah, that we are not able to differentiate between verbs just by looking at them, whether it's regular or irregular. So that must be learned by heart.
Yeah. So it's the same in English. You can't tell if, for example, the verb run is irregular or regular, because people who learned English as a second language learned the irregular verbs and had to learn their past tenses as well. The same applies for German.
Yes, that's it.
Good. Do we have anything to add?
Not something in particular, but just back to the structure. The structure is very, very important. Choose the helping verb right, and then put the Partizip 2 as good as you can. Try to memorize them. And this is how you build a sentence in the perfect tense.
I think if you're just starting out, or if you're just starting to learn to speak German, try to focus on the perfect tense. Try to forget the preteritum for a while, unless you're using modal verbs. But try to focus on using the perfect, and to hit the right auxiliary verb. So either, as we said, haben or sein, and then to choose the right Partizip, form of Partizip. So instead of saying, for example, ich habe gegessen, it's not ich habe gegessen, ich habe gegessen. Try to reach, I don't want to say perfection, but try to reach a good level on when it comes to using perfect. And then when you're really advanced and when you start reading literature and listening to radio, you're going to get familiar with the verbs that need preteritum. As I said, you use it to describe the mise en scène. Like, for example, es war ein schöner Tag, die Sonne schien, die Blumen rochen schön, die Kinder spielten
describing
Fußball.
Describing a scene, right?
Exactly. Mm. Ein Mann kam auf mich zu und sagte, Sie haben mich lange angestarrt. So, Sie haben mich lange angestarrt. This is the main verb, the main action that's happening. Yeah. Which is going to lead to main actions as well.
That's right.
So everything around this main action is describing the mise-en-scène. And this is where you use the preteritum.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and Noah, back to the point that you say, you should try as much as you can to form the perfect tense in the right way. And the Partizip 2 should also be, or must actually be, correct. Because I define... the mistakes in German language to two parts. One part is acceptable, the other part is not acceptable. And when you say, ich habe gegessen, this belongs to the part which is not acceptable. It sounds very weird. It's maybe okay to make a mistake with the article. Instead of der, you say die. You can still accept that. But when it comes to the form of the part, of the verb in the Partizip 2, you should do it the right way.
Absolutely. So there are mistakes that you can do. They're not bad because the other person is going to still understand you. But there are other mistakes that you do and the other person's not.
And gonna... they sound really weird. They sound really, really weird at that moment. Okay.
Okay. So I hope that... this is... Please, yeah. Go ahead. Do the outro.
I just wanted to say that maybe it's the right point now to start speaking about the preteritum form, our beloved preteritum form for everyone that likes to learn German. I think they hate it.
Do you want to do this now?
Let's go for it.
Okay, let's do it. So, preteritum. When it comes to preteritum, I remember I was 15 and the German teacher put a sheet of paper on my desk and she told us, this is preteritum. It was a lot of verbs, like 10 sheets of papers, and then she told us you have to learn those by heart, and I go like, no, I'm not learning those by heart. But at some point you have to, like, you don't have to learn them, but I think what is important for you as a German learner is when you stumble over those verbs, you need to tell from which verb they derive. So for example, if you read the verb, and I'm saying explicitly read because we tend not to use this in the everyday language. So for when you read, for example, die Blumen rochen schön, then you need to tell, okay, rochen derives from riechen.
Riechen.
So we would say in present, die Blumen riechen schön, right? Mm-hmm. And in Präteritum, die Blumen rochen schön.
Yes.
I don't know if there's a pattern in Präteritum that you can follow in order to... what do you think?
To predict, maybe.
Yeah.
Actually, this is the right point to speak about the second trick that I want to give our listeners today. When it comes to predicting the form of the verb in the preteritum, it would be really helpful to know the verb in the Partizip 2. Because if the verb in the Partizip 2 form that we use in the perfect ends with a T, so it's going to be most likely to be a TE at the end of the verb in the preterite. It's going to be most likely that the verb in the preteritum tense is going to end with a TE. Let's take an example. So the verb ends with a T here in the Partizip 2. So you can go ahead and say, okay, it's kaufte, the verb root and a TE at the end. This way is going to make your life easier when it comes to predict the preteritum form of the verb. But you have to be careful. It's not 100%. There are some exceptions, but it works most of the time. And if the verb ends with an en in the Partizip 2, you're gonna know that there must be a change of vowel in the preteritum form. Let's say essen. Ich habe gegessen. So the verb ends with an en at the end in the Partizip 2. In the preteritum form, we will see that we have a change of vowel. So it's going to be aß. Another verb, bekommen. Ich habe einen Brief bekommen. So the verb ends with an en also in the Partizip 2. That will lead us to the preteritum change of vowel. Ich bekam einen Brief. So this is also not 100% usable, not in all
it's
the cases.
It's not always applicable.
Exactly, but it will help you. Most likely, or in most of the cases, it's going to be applicable. So what we can get out of that is the verbs that ends with a T will end with a T. The verbs that will end with a T in the Partizip 2 will also end with a TE after the verb root in the preteritum. Try it, Noah. Maybe you can give us an example.
In the Partizip 2, the verb needs to end with a T. Präsentiert.
Mm. Okay. So let's give it a try and make it in the preteritum. The way I said it, it must be the verb root.
Ich präsentierte.
Exactly. And then you have to make the declination.
Oh, that's easy. I didn't präsentierte. Know this.
That's easy and helpful, actually. But again, you have to be careful. Very few cases are not that way.
Hmm. What else should we know about preteritum?
One point I would like to add, and I did two videos about it actually, that some of the verbs will be used from mother tongue speakers, even in the spoken language, in the preteritum form, like wissen, ich wusste, ich gehe, ich ging, ich lese, ich las. That sounds, as you said, more natural. And beside that, the verb haben and sein as a full verb are going to be used in the preteritum, like ich bin heute in Deutschland, ich war gestern in Italien. Ich habe heute ein Auto, aber ich hatte letztes Jahr kein Auto.
Good.
Yeah, that's, you have something to add, Noah?
No, not really, except for I tell my students always to learn them by heart.
this is also true. We must learn everything by heart. Mm. But the methods or the tricks I said might help making it easier.
Do you think that we should... Do you remember when we learned English as a second language, we had a list of the irregular verbs and we would, for example, say go, went, gone, read, 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 cut. Do you recommend this to German learners?
I would not recommend anything. Everything is recommended because, as we said last time, everyone learns in a different way than the other.
Mm.
So I would not say don't do that. Just go ahead and do the way that you understand better.
From my point of view, I would not do this. Because there are priorities when it comes to language learning. There are things that you need to learn at the beginning, at an advanced level, but also things that you that you need at the very end of your language learning journey. Like, for example, the preteritum, it's when you dive into details, when you read literature, when you listen to the radio, like mm-hmm. to specific radio stations, when you listen yes. to interviews of old people yeah. speaking, they might use the preteritum much more often than the perfect. But this is why I would not say go and... Because English, for example, it's you find a rhythm, like cut, 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 go, went, gone.
Yes.
Like, it sounds like music, but yeah.
That's why it works there. Yeah.
But in German...
I agree, totally
you don't
agree.
Go like...
Ask a guessen. It's not musical at all.
No.
It's not musical. Okay, so that was everything we wanted to speak about today. We spoke about the sentence structure of the affect form and some tips and tricks how to differentiate between haben and sein, when to use what. This is really important. Another thing that we spoke about is the preteritum form and how to use a trick to predict, in many cases, how the verb looks in the preteritum form. Thank you very much, Noah. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And until next time.
See you in the next episode. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Noah was